this is Paloma.
And this is Rachel.
And this is Good Girls Don't.
And welcome back.
It's finally been a while. I know.
Sorry, guys.
Sorry.
You know, it's, so I think it's been 2 months since we recorded our last podcast, give or take.
We had issues.
We had a lot of issues. It's been a rough...
It's been rough
couple of months.
We needed a timeout bad.
Yeah. Not necessarily from each other.
Oh, no. Not from each other at all.
But from the world, from reality, which we didn't really succeed at that timeout because reality just kind of keeps landing on us like a ton of bricks.
Reality keeps like grabbing me and shaking me.
By the pussy?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Well, I don't know. Do you shake pussy?
Well, see, you grab it.
You know what? I'm just saying, you and I don't say anything that bad on our podcast. And we start out with pussy. See?
Sorry. I decided that we did 2017 Good Girls Don't. Just tells it like
we
it
just
is.
Go crazy on here. And I'm sorry, guys. I'm a little sick. So.
Yeah. And I'm a little coughy just because
we're kind of gross.
Yeah. Don't come near us.
Yeah.
But still listen, please. Yeah.
We won't pollute your ears.
Yeah.
Well, maybe. But.
Well, I did say pussy. So.
Already. And again.
Sorry.
So, Rachel, I want to start off with the Department of Rumors and Lies.
Okay.
However, I feel like that might become a real government agency now.
It should be. I will start that agency and go rogue with it.
Ugh. Well, I think so many agencies are going rogue. Got it. Right. Okay, I guess let's remember back to that.
Yeah. Okay, so what do you need to correct?
Well, our last episode, I feel like I came off like I sounded like an apologist for white supremacists. Mm. And that was not my point. I'm not a sympathizer for the deplorables in any way. I was trying to say what happened to those white disenfranchised Americans. Mm. The thing I forgot to say, and I remember because you asked me, you're like, well, what's the solution? And I said unity, which was a big word for this.
Mm-hmm.
I feel because I don't sympathize with them at all. Mm-hmm. I think they're assholes. Sorry. I don't know why.
Say you're sorry.
I'm an apologist, I guess. But
sorry, not sorry.
But where I feel like we've gone wrong is I feel like I said this before. We villainize white people or white males. And I feel like if we're trying to teach people inclusion, saying it's okay to exclude one group is not okay. That was my point.
Yes. And I understand that. And I don't necessarily fully agree with that because I don't feel like white males are excluded. Although I will say that in some circles, some activist circles, that there is an unwillingness to listen to all points of view. But I feel like for that particular group, it would be helpful if the white males in question would come to the table being willing to listen. And I feel like more often than not, they're not willing. And this is not a all white males conversation because you and I are married to a couple of white guys. And, you know, I feel like there's plenty of allies and, you know, white men who understand what's at stake and are allies and are strong and, you know, want to do what's right for the country as a whole. And by the country, I mean people of all ethnicities and backgrounds and walks of life. But when, you know, a white male or a white woman, for that matter, comes to the table and tries to make the conversation about him or herself and by doing that, then tries to take the spotlight off of, I think, what are real urgent matters. Yes. That's when I start having a problem with it.
I totally agree with that. I think it's
important to just again, it's white women too, because it's 53%
of
white women voted for Trump. That's where we're at.
Well, so I guess, and this is my point, is I just don't think it's okay to judge. I don't think it's okay to make fun of white guys just because they're white guys.
No, not as a whole.
And that's my point.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, that takes care of that. Anything you want to clear up from that?
No, I think I'm good. I want to, you know, like to go back in time and just do everything over again. But
I wish that we were fighting about Mitt Romney being president.
I remember when we fought about whether or not Marco Rubio was hot and who we would do.
Those were the good old days. I wish that like we had some Republican that was like just kind of a dick and didn't believe in the things we believed in. I didn't wish that. What we have now.
No, I hear you. I remember, I never ever thought in my lifetime that I would be nostalgic for George W. Bush.
Oh my God.
Like that I would look at him and be like,
he's a kitten.
Oh, that sweet little man.
You know what? Remember how everyone used to be like, oh, I want to have a beer with him. I do now.
Yeah. Oh no, I will have beer with him. I will have beer with him. And I still have a couple of choice words for him. But oh, yeah. I look at him and I'm like, we were so naive.
Now, Dick Cheney, though,
Dick Cheney is still evil. Yeah. Although even Dick Cheney came out against the Muslim ban. So
I don't mean it's unconstitutional.
Yeah. So when even Dick Cheney, the Darth Vader of politics, is whoa.
He's not Darth Vader. We're going to get to that.
Oh, okay. I just got told.
Sorry.
She just wagged her finger at me. I have the finger wag. Okay.
I've got something to say about that.
I can't wait.
Yeah, yes. Okay. So, well, I guess we should just talk about Donald Trump then. And
I think this podcast from now on is just going to be me hyperventilating.
I know.
About
or crying.
Yeah. Yeah. A little puddle of tears over here. Okay. You know what? We're strong. We can do this.
Okay. So let's talk about the first week. Muslim ban. But tonight we found out.
Federal judge just ruled at least a part of it to be unconstitutional. So from what I understand, it strikes down those who already have the ban on those who already have green cards, if I understand correctly. And this is breaking news. So if I'm getting that detail incorrect, then I'll correct it next time. But at least part of it has been struck down or stayed, not struck down, but stayed by a federal judge, which just raises the whole. When this happened yesterday, I think it was yesterday, you know, it just, my first reaction, you know, was like, where is the system of checks and balances? How can the president issue an executive order on something of this magnitude with no input from the other branches of the government?
This is what I thought couldn't happen. And this is why I was going to be okay with Donald Trump being president.
Because there would be checks and balances and there would be a push and pull in the government between, you know, the sides that you align with and the other sides. And you know that you can't win every political fight.
Exactly.
But when the president signs an executive order of such enormity that it has an impact on so many lives, you know, and also in my mind, you know, not in my mind, but it does completely go against what this country was built upon.
Yes.
Like, how is he allowed to do that?
When he became president, when he was inaugurated, and I felt this, like, you know, dark cloud of uncertainty, and then right away he did all these things. He's making good with his campaign promises, which to me, I really felt like he wasn't, because those things were so far-fetched and so crazy. There's no way. But he really is. He has far exceeded my expectations of what kind of shitlord he will be.
In the worst way possible.
Yes.
Well, I think that for both of us, in the period between the election itself and the inauguration, which was however many weeks, it felt like a lifetime.
Oh my God, yes.
I felt like I aged 20 years during that period. There was a lot of, oh, you got to give him a chance. You know, he may not, you know, that was all campaign rhetoric. He was doing it to get votes. Just wait and see. He's been in office for 1 week and a day and has already done so much damage or potential damage that my head is spinning. I mean, and the Muslim ban is probably like the biggest example of that. But you look at what he did with the Environmental Protection Agency and other.
Oh, my God.
I mean, you know, putting the clamp, like basically putting a clampdown on a freedom of expression for federal government agencies, you know, in conveying scientific facts. It's like that's frightening. Here it is. I'm going to hyperventilate again.
Okay. Well, so that night that I found out about the EPA, I had probably a little too much to drink. And
it's going to be the next 4 years,
I know,
my friend.
But I was just so upset. And then I kept reading that, like, scientists were privately sending their data to their own private...
trying to preserve the data in case the data is deleted.
Because data was disappearing.
Yeah.
Scientific
data that has an impact on our planet, on our everything in this country, and not to mention the world. So these scientists are basically going rogue, you know, trying to preserve the work that they've done. And
And then there's melted Barbie. Like, okay, you know what? I take it all back. Make fun of that white person all you want.
Please do.
Yes.
So let's back up a little bit. So there was the inauguration, which like a childish toddler, I refused to watch. I'm like, I'm not giving my time to that spectacle.
Oh, God, it was like at 10 a.m.
Yeah, well,
work.
either way, like I took time off for the first Obama inauguration. You know, I took the day off. I was so excited. And I don't think I took the day off for the second one, but because
I had a party the night of the first
one. You did,
one.
Right. And so for this one, I was in my car and it was on NPR and I just shut off my radio. I was just like, I can't listen to it. I just can't even, I can't go into that abyss right now. But so then there was all this stuff online and social media comparing the crowd sizes of, you know, Trump's inauguration versus Obama's. And there, you know, there's like visual evidence. And then there's like official police estimates of the size of the crowd. And then there's like, you know, Washington, D.C. Metro with comparing ridership.
Do you mind? Can we take a break so I can just bang my head on this desk?
Yeah, I know. Cool? Right. Excuse me. We're going to take a quick 3 minute bang break. Wait, that didn't sound good.
Oh, my God. Rachel, I mean, 3 minutes, probably, but we better have a toy. I don't know. Huh. See, we don't talk about nice things.
No, we don't.
We just did it.
We're nasty.
God,
ladies.
Dang it.
Anyway, so when the next day after Trump was tweeting that the media was lying about the number of people, you know, who are at the inauguration, and then his press secretary, Sean Spicer, goes on TV to straight up lie about how his inauguration was the biggest in, you know, global history, more people attended or watched. I am not kidding you, Paloma. I was watching the TV. My jaw was just about on the ground. And I really was hyperventilating. I was really like, this is propaganda of like the Hitler and Mussolini ilk. This is like, this is not us having rhetoric and just, you know, calling anybody who opposes our political viewpoint.
We're not being snowflakes or libtards.
That's like, that is literal propaganda. Like, there is so much evidence to the contrary. And you know there is. And you're just Baltist lie, and then Melted Barbie goes on TV the next day her goddamned alternate facts.
Okay, so wait, back to Sean Spicer thing. Yeah. So it was after the march, which we'll talk about in a little bit.
Okay,
and I was like, high as a kite. After, not literally. I mean, I was just very
stone
excited.
Cold sober, high as a kite.
Yes,
same here.
I mean, feeling so good about everything. And then Chris, my brother-in-law, turns on the TV, and it's this Sean Spicer in this ill-fitting suit.
Yeah, that pasty. He's a white guy we can make fun of, right?
And you know what? I take it back. Anyone in the Trump administration is fair game.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Thank you. We're
going
to have this is a mid-podcast Department of Rumors and Corrections.
That's the only time where I think it's okay to make fun of somebody because of their ethnicity, okay?
Yeah, no, he's fair game. He's a white potato man.
He's a pasty, disgusting bowl of mayonnaise that's sat out too long.
A bowl of mayonnaise stuffed into a potato.
Yeah. Yes. But it's squeezed between two pieces of Wonder Bread. Gross.
Yeah.
Okay, so he's on TV and I'm like, haha, look at this guy. What a clown. Making fun of his appearance because that's funny.
Yeah.
Then he starts talking and it's like, wait, like, yes. Is this a book that I've read?
Yeah.
I feel every time every time I've watched something or listened, because I listen to MSNBC in the morning, and every time I hear something, I'm like, I'm listening to a page of the history book explaining something big. Like,
what's
leading up to something big. And that's exactly how I felt in that moment. I'm like, I can't believe it.
I feel like I'm literally reading, like, a sci-fi dystopian novel. Like, I feel like I'm reading, you know, pages taken out of 1984 or The Handmaid's Tale or The Man in the High Castle. It's like, that's supposed to be fiction.
Is there a book called Crazy Bowl of Mayonnaise?
That's my next bestseller. My only bestseller. Yeah. Thank you for the book title, by the way.
I know. Actually, I feel like this is what that administration should be called. Crazy Bowl of Mayonnaise.
Crazy Bowl of Rancid Mayonnaise.
Yes.
Can we be more specific?
Mayonnaise.
Is it mayonnaise or Miracle Whip?
Oh, well, Miracle Whip's pretty disgusting.
Right. So like
Miracle
I said.
Whip. It's kind of sweet, though, and they are not sweet.
Rancid Miracle Whip.
Oh, okay. Oh, fair enough. Okay. Got me
all right.
There.
Now I'm glad we cleared that up.
Oh, gosh. We have a lot of decisions to make. We have very hard jobs.
Yeah, we do.
Entertaining is not as easy as it sounds.
You guys, if you want to come sit in this chair and try this out.
Well, I'm so glad we're happy because I was just about to talk about, like, this election depression. It's not election depression anymore. It's life depression.
Yeah.
I cannot believe I physically feel ill because of the actions our government is taking. And I don't know how to deal with that.
I don't know how to deal with it. I have felt physically ill since the night of the election. And I will say the first week after the election was a really dark, dark time. God. And then it was like, okay, I'm going to soldier through. I'm going to, here's all
and
the,
then it was Christmas.
You know, well, it was like, here's all the, you know, organizations I'm going to donate to and things I'm going to sign up for. And you know, I'm going to stress tweet and Facebook and, you know, just, you know, like text you worriedly at 11 o'clock at night. And then Christmas happened and.
Real quick, when you and I text each other late at night, should we have like a disclosure of how many drinks we've had?
I feel like it just kind of goes unsaid.
I think it's fair. Because for a while, remember, we were going to have a thing where when I made drunken plans with you, we were going to like have checks and balances with that. Remember?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, okay. Carry on. Sorry.
We'll figure this off a line. Okay. Okay? I felt like it kind of went without saying that there were going to be multiple drinks involved.
Okay.
Yeah. So anyway, but after the election, I don't remember if we talked about this on our last podcast, but like a week or two after the election, I had a doctor's appointment that I had already made.
Oh, we did talk about this.
And so I got a prescription for Xanax at that doctor's appointment.
Oh, you said something else at that appointment.
Well, yeah. So, well, let me tell my story, okay?
Well, no, you asked what we said on the last one.
Yeah.
And the last one, we didn't talk about the Xanax. We talked about
Okay. Well, so I got a prescription. He refilled my prescription for Xanax. And then I also got a prescription for a medical marijuana card. So, because my doctor, who is really awesome, you know, I was talking with him and he's like, you know, how are you feeling about everything? And it's like, well, I'm feeling like panicked and upset and really depressed, and so he wrote me a prescription for that because supposedly it's supposed to help you sleep.
He didn't call you a snowflake libtard?
No, God, I wish he had, you
Bummer.
Know. Yeah. Bummer. I'm a proud libtard. I just want you to know
me
that.
Me too.
Yeah.
And you know what? Snowflake me all you want.
Yeah. Don't snowflake me, bro.
Call back. Oh my God, we have to talk about that. Or did we already talk about that?
We didn't talk about that. Okay, let's talk about it later.
Let's make a note.
Okay.
Okay. Right. Okay, here, listen to her.
Okay.
Right.
Anyway, were we going to talk about the march? Do you want to talk about the march?
I have one more thing to say about this president, because I was going to talk about Star Wars.
Oh, okay. Oh,
Darth and the Vader, resistance, that's right. which kind of leads into the march. And so I feel like I was going to say that Donald Trump was Darth Vader.
Mm-hmm.
But he's
I don't
not.
I think he's smart enough for that.
Well, no. Who is Darth Sidious, though? Because there's somebody that made him then. So,
this is not something that I would know.
Oh, okay. I'm going to do some more thinking about
okay.
this. But Darth Vader's not that smart because he was kind of lured into his position.
Yeah, but Donald Trump, excuse me, is beyond not that smart. Like, I really genuinely... First of all, I really genuinely think he's a shitty human being. And that has nothing to do with his politics.
No.
If you look at things that have been said about him, or look at his business dealings, or look at lawsuits that have been filed against him, look at allegations against him in terms of his, you know, his marriages, I think he's, you know, and look at the fact, you know, the privilege that he grew up in and how he seems to have a disdain for anybody who doesn't enjoy that same privilege. He's just a shitty human being. But he's this kind of type of shit. He's the type of shitty human being who I think doesn't really care about world politics unless it impacts him directly, his business dealings or whatever. So I feel like we really are experiencing something where he really is a puppet in somebody else's master plan. Because I think if you sat him down and talked to him, you know, about foreign policy in Syria or, you know, his dealings
but who's
with ISIS.
Plan, though?
I don't know. I mean, you know, obviously people say, you know, that this whole Putin thing. I don't know. But I kind of feel like maybe, you know.
That was my point.
The whole alt-right. Okay. You know, I just feel like I don't
all wrong.
I just don't think he is smart enough to be making some of these bigger decisions. Or not even that he's not smart enough, although I don't think he's smart enough. I don't think he cares enough
no.
to be making some of the decisions that he's making. This is a person who used to identify as being pro-choice.
Yes.
And used to be... You know, he didn't care about...
He wanted Hillary Clinton to be president.
He wanted Hillary Clinton to be president. He was pro-gay marriage or LGBTQ rights, or at least said so publicly. And now he's aligning himself with the far, far right conservative. And I feel like it's purely for political gain. And there's just got to be something else behind it. Because I just don't think that if left to his own devices, I don't think he cares.
I've got it figured out. Putin is Darth Sidious. And Trump is Darth Vader.
Okay. An orange Darth Vader.
Yes. Disgustingly orange Darth Vader.
Yes.
Yeah.
With scotch tape on his tie.
That has to pay women for sex. Or have them imported.
essentially.
Can you import your wife? Is that what it is?
He did.
Yeah. A gross. Okay. So anyway, let's talk about something that was like an amazing experience.
The march. The march was amazing.
That was the most peaceful, fun protest. I didn't bring Rosalie because I was scared.
Well, she's people... 3 and a half.
But there was like babies.
There were. But I would have probably done the same thing as you and not brought her because I didn't know what to expect.
I brought pepper spray to that.
I had no idea what to expect. And I was amazed at the fact that there were at least 20,000 men and women there and children. And it was peaceful. It was friendly.
The cops were nice.
The cops were nice. You know, it... I don't know if there's ever been a march of that magnitude in Sacramento. Like, at least 20,000 people. It was amazing. I have never felt like to be a part of something that big. Something that big... worldwide, you know, people were marching in Antarctica and Tokyo and Sydney and London and, you know, all across the U.S. It really brought chills and tears to, you know, it felt like we were part of something big and important.
Yes.
And it's funny because in the past I've been like, well, you know, marching is great, but what does it do? What does it actually change?
Well, when like half the world,
when millions and millions of people march and at this concerted effort, you know, I thought, are we physically changing anything right now? No, but are we making a statement? And if even half
there's
of us,
there's a cat paw grabbing a mouse. Sorry to interrupt. Under the door, guys. My kitty's trying to get its
more
toy mouse.
Things.
Sorry, that's
cat break.
An interruption.
Cat break.
Okay.
I just felt like even if in that moment we weren't physically changing something, if even a half of us or a third of us followed up on that action with other actions, then we were truly part of a movement.
And there are so many marches coming up, and
there
I'm
are.
So
I want to march every weekend.
But
now.
The thing is,
it seems like
I feel like they're just going to get. I feel like it's going to get uglier and uglier, though.
I mean, you look at the marches, or not the marches, but the protests, which haven't been ugly, but. I feel like we are entering this new era of protest and demonstration. And I was actually really, really heartened to see that with the Muslim ban, the ban on refugees, that people took to the airports to start protesting, and that the taxi, this is one something, you know, that we had in our text exchange earlier today, that the taxi drivers were refusing to go to JFK as their protest against the refugee ban. And so I think if we can continue with these actions, at the very least, you know, they get under his skin.
Oh my God, yes.
And if that's all that I'm going to take away from this, that little thin-skinned, you know, what did you call him, toddler in chief?
Yeah, toddler in chief.
Then I'll take that. That's a victory right there.
So, but the thing that was so upsetting is I'm still friends with a lot of conservatives on Facebook, and I don't even know why I pay attention to things on Facebook, but I always like to know what the other side is doing.
Yeah.
But I'm still friends with these conservative people, and there was such outrage about this march, and it was like, you know, hashtag not my women, and But that was the most beautiful thing, and I don't know how you could take away from it.
What was their objection to the march? Because we're objecting.
This is actually, it's amusing. There's suffering women everywhere, and we're here just marching for our rights, and we're foul because there was like vagina posters and stuff, and we're just not classy women.
Well, I never said I was classy, but
isn't the whole focus here like America first, and so we're supposed to be thinking about other women elsewhere? No, the hypocrisy was great,
and I felt like it was a march for everybody. I felt like it was a march for, you know, for human rights overall, which would exceeds boundaries.
To be quite honestly, when I went to that march, my going had less to do with feminism and more to do with not normalizing what's happening.
Exactly.
It had less, you know, it wasn't like, I am woman, hear me roar. It was like, we can't be these people.
Yeah.
Like, let's stop.
I think mine was maybe 60-40, like 40% was, I am woman, hear me roar. And, you know, I can't believe we just, you know, elected the groper in chief and somebody who's such a foul human being when it comes to women and the things that he has said about reproductive rights during his campaign. But the other 60%, you know, or 75-25%, I don't know. The other part of me was, these are human rights in general. These are atrocities.
Yes.
These are the things that if he puts into action even half of what he has said,
which it looks like he's doing,
be it reproductive rights, be it, you know, denying climate change, you know, the
Rachel,
wall.
My ears are hot. Really?
We
didn't even talk about the wall in Mexico. He pissed off Mexico.
Yeah.
And But I loved it. I kept seeing all these things. You're going to pay more for Cholula. I'm like, oh, that's really the worst thing I have to worry about. I am worried about that. That's really the issue here.
Yeah.
I mean, I do like my Cholula, I'll be honest, but I'll pay an extra $2 if that's what it takes.
Yeah, but the point is, how are we... It's the most un-American thing I can think of to build a wall, you know, at the border. The most un-American thing after denying refugees, you know, to come into this country.
And when you, like, have you accidentally watched one of those, like, videos of rescues in Syria, like, under rubble children and just
that's
all these
heartbreaking.
Things? How could you think that any of that's okay? And how could you not be compelled to help?
Yeah, like, and now, you know, Justin Trudeau, the Prime Minister of Canada, is like, fine, we'll take the refugees. You know, we'll show you what a country does.
Thank
you,
Canada.
Yeah.
God dang it.
So.
I always thought Canada was America's hat, but I guess we're Canada's butt.
Yeah, essentially. We are Canada's ass.
Dang it.
Stinky ass.
But when, then there's also the other objection I saw was like, about protesters leaving garbage and stuff like that.
Oh, come on.
And the thing is like, what type of protest is okay? Okay, Colin Kaepernick can't.
He can't kneel.
He can't
kneel. Do that.
That's un-American.
Yeah.
You can't burn a flag, which is fine. Whatever. You can have feelings about that.
You can have feelings about it, but again, I think it's free
but
expression.
It's legal,
yeah,
is
it's free
the point.
Expression. It's just it's literally just
but
a piece
it's like,
of cloth.
What protest is okay? Taking it?
Yeah.
And I hate it when they compare it to we've dealt with 8 years of Obama. This is nothing like Obama. Yeah. I am sorry. You cannot compare.
Well, you know,
it.
Remember that time Obama took all of their guns?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. And it was Sharia law.
Imposed Sharia law. Yeah.
And what else happened? Oh, we're all Muslims now,
yeah.
by the way.
So I could see how they could make that comparison.
That's fair. Okay. Yeah.
My bad.
Yeah, God, that was upsetting.
Sorry, guys.
That's my script. What do we have here?
I need another drink.
Oh, well, speaking of drinks, that's actually...
okay.
Well, that was part of the amazingness of this. People were so excited and so energetic at this march. At one point, my sister had to pee. Oh, am I going to, like, talk about my sister's illegal behavior?
We can just talk about the legal behavior.
Okay.
Let's just talk about the... Sorry, Renee.
Okay, sorry, Renee.
We're not going to sell you out.
Okay.
Because we'd be selling ourselves out, too.
But the point is, we had to go to the bathroom. Or
yes.
She did. My sister had to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
So she went to Henry's Lounge.
We split up for a minute. And then there
were... split up, gang.
It was your sister and your stepmom. They left for a while, and then we couldn't find them. And then I think you texted, and they said they were at Henry's Lounge, which is a bar that's down the street from the state capitol, which is where the march, you know, that was where the march culminated.
And mind you, my stepmother doesn't really drink and is kind of, she's not, I don't say she's straight-laced. She's not like the church lady, but she's lived a very wholesome life.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
She's a very clean person.
Yeah.
But Henry's Lounge is not the place where a lady like that goes. So they're in line waiting for the bathroom, and we go to meet them there.
Yeah.
And open up the door, and there's women playing pool, music super
doing
loud.
Shots. And I don't know if you remember this. This woman, we open up the door, and this woman yells, and she goes, "This is a nasty woman friendly bar."
And it was like they music.
Were
cheering. It was 11:45 a.m. by the
right?
way, and these women were just like raging.
They were
and
whooping it
I
up.
The music was so loud, and this bar was kind of
it was like Wild West bar or something. It was actually
we
awesome.
Into a saloon yeah. in the like in California Gold Rush.
Yeah, it was
era.
Like Suffragette, like saloon or something.
It was
a beautiful moment.
So we open the door and they're all cheering
yeah.
as we walk in. It was so amazing.
Yeah.
So of course, we do a shot.
Yeah, obviously.
But it was just really
with some really questionable alcohol.
And
the poor place that they had like one bartender there.
I know.
He was like four feet five inches tall.
Who's the guy from ACDC I don't like? Because I'm a Bon Scott gal.
Oh,
Brian Johnson.
Yeah,
hate
yeah.
that guy. She's wearing a Brian Johnson hat. Do you feel like I say that? I don't know what the cap is called, but that's who she reminded me of. Is it Brian Johnson?
I don't know. Ask Corey. You already asked him.
I like Bon Scott guys. Sorry.
Okay. We had this conversation before.
The point was,
like, we stopped into this bar that it was filled with men and women, but mostly really loud women, and we did shots, and the alcohol was horrible.
Disgusting.
But we still did it.
We did a Coors Light chaser.
Yeah.
And we invited my friend Hillary. which you'd never met her before.
And also my friend Sarah, I've met her before,
mm-hmm.
but she has had asked if she could join along because she was having trouble hooking up with another group. So I was like, yeah. And then as we go into the bar, I'm like, I wonder if she thinks that we're all just like the craziest, like classless.
I know.
Like, she did a shot too.
We're doing a March shot. You know? Yeah.
She was a good sport about it.
Yeah. Yeah. And, so Hillary and I are very similar human beings. We both got our degrees in history. We both like history. We both have, you could see the similarities, kind of wacky girls who maybe don't fit in and say things they shouldn't. Mm. That kind of, you know.
My kind of people.
Those kind of people. And so because she loves history, because you're a journalist, we have this great idea. So the reason I love history is because I am fascinated with right now that what's happening in our government, I'm not necessarily fascinated with that or military action. Ooh. What I'm fascinated with is how that affects the everyday person, mm-hmm. and what the everyday person's experience was during these times. And so all I can think about, because I'm obsessed with, you know, pioneers and you know, Donner Party era, that type of thing. But all I can think about is what women did while they're on their period, what sex was like how interpersonal, like just everything. I want to know what that was actually like to be them. Yeah. What it was like to be a woman during that time.
Yeah.
And so I guess I'd not actually expressed that to you before or Hillary. And we decided that it would be great to do research and see what we could find out, because there's not a lot of information about women's menstrual cycles because they didn't talk about it.
Yeah.
And because men think it's gross or did or whatever.
Yeah,
it is.
They still do.
But Hillary's been texting me about that. She's like, I can't believe I'm thinking about periods so much.
So you're gonna do a book.
Yes, I'm so excited. Or you know, at least get research done and see where that goes.
And then I tried to jump in on your idea be like, I want to be a part of it.
What? But because it's amazing. It's like a great idea. I mean, right? Don't you think other people want to know those things? It can't just be a group of us, right?
No, I think there are a whole bunch of ladies and maybe some men who would be interested in reading about.
Well, I want to know about men too. I want to know about what it's like to have sexually transmitted diseases.
Yeah.
Because I read something recently how, like, for men to have sexually transmitted diseases before, it was kind of like a belt of accomplishments. Like, if you had a leaky wiener. I know. It's totally gross. But anyway, I'm just really curious about that. And even, like, what did women do if they had yeast infections? Like,
but I'm curious about that. A urinary tract infection?
Yeah.
Ugh.
Like, what did you do?
You couldn't just go to the market for cranberry juice, which doesn't really work anyway.
No, that doesn't work.
No,
you know what works? Antibiotics.
And only antibiotics.
And booze. Yeah. Just kidding. Booze ruins it. So anyway. Sorry.
Where were we?
I know. I just word exploded. I'm really sorry.
We have a lot to catch up on.
I know.
I mean, just to be clear, it's not like Paloma and I haven't talked since the last podcast. I think that we've just been maybe repressing.
I know.
You know what? That's untrue. We've talked about this a lot.
We have. You know what?
But not in this format.
Sometimes.
Yeah. Really?
I get excited a lot.
Yeah.
Sometimes my excitement just has words.
Did I tell you that the other day Corey and I were watching the news, and I don't even remember what it was, but it was something Trump related and maybe Kellyanne Conway related or something. Melted Barbie. And I think that she said something particularly like outrageous or egregious. And we're watching the news and she says whatever she says that's horrible. And Corey just pauses the TV and he turns and he looks at me and he's like, I want to see your expression right now. and luckily I did not disappoint him.
Oh,
I was so
make a face.
Yeah. Make a face.
Yeah, make the
I
face.
I was like this.
I've seen that face.
Yeah.
I have actually yelled. So in the morning I was listening to him talk to the CEOs and he was talking about having less environmental regulations and that's what's going to bring people mm-hmm. back. And I was yelling, fuck you at my radio.
Oh yeah.
And it was funny because I thought of you because I'm like, that's kind of a Rachel thing. That's not really a me thing.
Really?
Like,
I didn't know.
Why am I yelling at my radio? No. But I was yelling at my radio because it was pissing me off.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Every goddamn day. Sorry. I do a lot of yelling at my radio.
God.
And my TV.
I know.
It's a lot of, I've turned into that person.
I yell the F word in my car at my radio. That's embarrassing.
Every day for the last couple of months. Yeah.
We had gigantic beers after the march.
We did. That was awesome. You know, we got pizza and beer and it was a great day. I think the question
really
is now,
day.
how do we carry it forward?
Well, I think that there are lots of opportunities. So, I know there's a march for science.
Yeah.
Because apparently science is an alternative fact you have to defend.
Yeah. And there's other ways too.
There's going to be a tax day march too.
There's going to be a tax day march. You know, we talked about making more phone calls to our representatives and donating to certain causes. I'm trying to find really tangible ways to feel like I'm making a difference and standing up for or against things that are happening.
Oh, you know? Watching Saturday Night Live is a good way.
It is. That's a stress reliever right there.
Well, no, I feel like because Donald Trump thinks they just need to disappear. He would love it if their ratings fell and they just went away. So
Just knowing that he watches it and it gets under his skin is probably the best thing.
So it's really funny. So I listened to MSNBC in the morning. I think I've mentioned that probably 20 times. But I don't even know this woman's name. And I feel like she's probably my best friend, but I don't know her. But every morning she says, Kellyanne Conway told me that nobody cares about Donald Trump's tax returns. I do care.
Yeah.
Mr. Trump, if you're listening.
I care.
But it's awesome to me. Like, there are people standing up for things right now. It is beautiful.
It's an interesting time to be alive. I'll tell you that. I mean, you and I had this conversation with a couple people via text earlier today that, you know, I know that when I was growing up, it's like I was so far enough removed from the 60s to sort of idolize it and glamorize and romanticize it. Like, wow, there were so many protests and demonstrations and people, you know, fighting for civil rights and fighting against the war in Vietnam. And, you know, it's like, oh, that'll never happen in my lifetime, that sort of energy and passion. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we're starting to see that now. And although that I realize now I would have happily not ever wanted to live in a time where you needed that. I guess we're sort of having our version of the 60s, and it's time to step up and take action and not be somebody who is on the sidelines of the history books.
Exactly. And I during this text exchange, I mentioned I took this class called the 60s mm-hmm. at Sac State. And that class, I specifically remember thinking, wow, good thing that nobody will ever be this outraged in America again.
Yeah.
But no. Yeah. No, this is happening.
It is. Speaking of which, I changed jobs since the last time we podcasted.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you.
But you're still, what are you?
So right now I'm still partially doing my old job because they have to hire somebody new. So I was an editor at the weekly paper here.
Are you going to continue?
Going to continue as a contributing editor.
Contributing editor.
So
that's what it is.
Right now I'm actually still on the masthead as the editor because I'm kind of doing a lot of work from home and coming in during my off time. So I'm still doing that. But once they hire somebody to replace me, then I hope that I can remain as a contributing editor. But in the meantime, I just started a new job 2 weeks ago, teaching journalism full time. So it's kind of weird because what a time to be in the newsroom. But at the same time, I have such a wealth of material when I go into the classroom.
But I also feel like at the same time, you're teaching these people during a time where they're going to learn.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's like I go in there and I think I told you this earlier. I think on Monday and between Monday and Tuesday, I showed every single one of my class that Kellyanne Conway segment on Meet the Press. And we talked about alternate facts and how, you know, alternate facts are what that is those are lies and that's propaganda and that's not journalism. And we talked a lot about, you know, the difference between state run media and a free press and, how organizations will try to, you know, shape the news. And so on the one hand, it's like I miss being in the newsroom. But on the other hand, I enjoy having these conversations with students. And I hope that, you know, if I can, you know, just have those conversations and be a part of their development of critical thinking skills, then that makes me happy.
Is there a debate in your classroom? Do you guys have conversations?
We have conversations and debate. It's interesting. You know, I haven't had a student yet who is like, you're wrong. And like this,
like,
you know,
my brother.
Yeah. It's like Kellyanne Conway is right. This is alternate facts, blah, blah, blah. But I've had students ask really good questions, you know, and I think legitimate questions that, you know, they haven't taken a class like this before. I'm teaching a news writing class and I'm teaching mass media. And so they have not maybe had the opportunity or the time to sort of think critically, you know, in a more formal way. But I think they have their own critical questions. And so good conversations have come out of that. And they've challenged me on a few things, which I appreciate, you know, and we just kind of bat these ideas back and forth.
You don't say, look, you little shit.
Because that's what I would say. I'm only on week two, Paloma. Okay. Ask me at the end of the semester. All right. I may drop one of those bombs by the end of the semester.
Like, I didn't ask you.
Yeah, we're only on week two. I'll probably get there by midterms.
Well, I am so excited for you. Like, I loved you being an editor of a weekly publication. Like, that was awesome. But you being a teacher feels right to me.
Thank you. I enjoy it a lot. I really, it's interesting. It's such a different pace than being in a newsroom. It's actually really exhausting, but I like it. I love it a lot, actually. And I'm looking forward to, and I just want to keep writing. So
good.
Yeah.
Well, and you have to like write Hillary and I's research.
Right, right, right. I've got plenty of projects because, you know, I get summers off now.
Oh, I sorry. Know. I'm so jealous.
That's not why I took the job, but
It's fine.
Yeah.
Even if you did.
But that's sort of the thing that's getting me through the semester because they literally hired me 10 days before the semester started. So
I know. That's
kind of crazy. Yeah.
What happened? You have to tell me later. Like, somebody just couldn't take it or what?
I don't know. But let me just say, I'm on starting week three and it's still pretty interesting. Wow.
And was there like a syllabus already ready for you or did you have to come up with everything?
Luckily, I had people who provided me with their previous syllabi. So it helped me shape what I was doing because otherwise I probably would just still be in a corner crying somewhere.
Okay. Can somebody go get Rachel? Yeah.
Her class is starting in 5 minutes. Dry your tears.
That's really cute.
So anyway.
Well, all I've got going on is Rosalie has discovered singing and dancing to Frozen.
Oh my God, she is adorable.
Like, she's a real kid now. Yeah. She, like, she gets in her princess, her Elsa costume. She sings and dances. She choreographs it, like puts her foot down. Yeah,
she's a little superstar.
It's really cute.
You sent us a video of her playing the drums. Oh, and yeah. I was like, she's got charisma.
She's got showmanship. For sure.
Yeah.
She keeps time.
Yeah. I was very impressed. So.
Yeah, she's got a little Bobby in her, but sometimes she has mommy's voice. She hasn't quite learned how to rein that in yet.
That's all right. That's all right.
But you know, so funny is when I was having a girl, I was like, oh my God, like she's not gonna have a character bedroom. Uh-huh. We're not gonna have character clothing. Yeah. Like, but then, you know, as you become a mom and you just get worn down.
Yeah. I was gonna say, yeah, good luck with that.
And now we're like totally into it. Bobby didn't like Frozen the first time we watched. He's like, that's the most heartless, or not even heartless, what do you say, like, it just had, it didn't give anything to Bobby. Uh-huh. He didn't get anything out of it. There's no good story. But then
as a 40-something-year-old man, yeah, exactly. did not quite speak to him.
But then what's funny is as she started doing her dances and stuff, we got the soundtrack. We've been doing research. Ah. Now Bobby and I are like, we love it.
We love Frozen.
All the songs. Like, we even have our favorite Frozen songs.
Aww,
now.
That's so cute.
Yeah.
See, there are still good things in the world.
Oh, you know what? Every day is a good thing with her.
I know.
It's just when I look at my phone or listen to other people. Yeah. Life gets stuck
The
again.
Rosalie bubble is a good place to be.
I like my Rosalie bubble.
Yeah.
Sorry. I just gave a big sniffle into the mic. I'm sick. Do we have anything else?
I don't know.
I'm
glad we're back.
Me too.
I missed you.
Yeah. We saw each other,
but I missed this.
I do too. And I know, so New Year's Eve,
we were going to record a podcast. I think we even posted about it.
Yeah, we
Oops,
did. But
sorry,
guess
guys.
What happened?
We stayed up until 4 a.m. doing karaoke, which I think was, given the times, was appropriate. And I was sick on New Year's Eve.
Oh, yeah.
And I was losing my voice, and I was laying on the couch, like, rasping.
Half asleep,
but rasping.
But I kept handing you the mic. Here, Rachel. No one else was singing with me. I get this problem. When I drink too much and it's too late and we're playing, like, our karaoke game, yeah. I'm just like, I could just do this all night.
I thought I could too. I wondered why the next day it's like I could barely speak. My lungs were just, in retrospect, maybe not the smartest thing. And
so
then, no, my favorite part though is like, so we were going to record a podcast on New Year's Eve. And then at one point on New Year's Eve, we're like, well, let's just get up in the morning and do it.
That was some good planning.
And then the next morning it was like, yeah, no,
we're
that's.
Like, do we have to open the curtains?
stop shouting.
But it was fun, and at 2 a.m. we had our little discussion about how as many fights as we get in, we always will love each other
forever.
And yeah.
Aww.
That's us. So anyway,
So anyway, we're back.
We're back.
Yeah.
We'll probably do this again soon.
Sooner rather than later. It's going to be one of the few things that keeps me sane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like
during the impeachment countdown.
Oh, God. You know what? Before this week, I was like, oh, well, impeachment's not good. Then it's Pence. I would take Pence in a heartbeat.
I know. This is the world we live in. So, I know. Okay.
Where your standards are so low.
It's like, I feel like I'm back in college with a bad boyfriend.
I know, I guess. Pence goes against everything I believe in. But right? You know what? At least he's sane.
But our girlfriends are like, listen, he's better than the last guy.
Just go out on one date with him.
Just give him a chance.
Oh, you don't have to marry him.
Yeah, I don't think he'll date rape you.
Oh, Rachel. Sorry. Way to bring it down.
Wow, I'm the one bringing it down.
You said he won't date rape you.
Oh, my God. I'm the one bringing it down.
Well, when did I bring it down?
Everybody's bringing it down. Oh,
okay. The world is... Okay. No, Donald Trump is bringing it down.
That's what I mean. And then I'm the one who gets in trouble.
Well, he didn't say date rape.
No, he just does it, probably.
Oh, zinger. Good job. High five across the room.
All right, well, on that note.
I think we've had enough. Okay. Bye, everyone.
Bye. Good Girls Don't was brought to you, produced by whatever.
We did it.
Paloma Jordan and Rachel LeBrock.
And Bobby Jordan helps
And Bobby
out.
Jordan. He engineered it. He didn't produce it. He engineered it. Did he produce it?
Well, but I save it, so I engineer it, too.
Oh, you engineer it. Okay,
we need to talk about what producing is and what engineering is.
Oh, yeah. Producing is we come up with the ideas.
Yeah.
So right? He engineered it.
Yes.
Are we really going to argue about this during our credits?
Yeah.
Okay.
And we just did.
It was brought to you by Pocky and Falafel.
Yes. Oh, and Wine Cube. Come on.
And Wine Cube. I was getting to the Wine Cube.
So, I just don't want Wine Cube to get left out.
And I think that's all I got.
Oh, no. Corey babysat.
Oh, yeah. Child caring services.
Child caring.
Child care provided by Bobby Jordan and Corey Vick.
Do you feel like Target Wine Cube did us in tonight?
I think they need to sponsor us.
I think so too.
Oh my God.
Oh, Target Wine Cube.
Target Wine Cube. All right. On that note, resist. Yes. See you next time.
Bye.